Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports talk for real fans with real opinions. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
Call his wife in 405. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Finishing up the final hour of our 5-hour midnight ride. Warm up show coming your way then. 888-808-1019. Fleegs on the other side. Finishing up our Thursday morning ride. As tomorrow will be Football Friday, back with you at 2 a.m. We'll have picks. We'll go around the league, obviously, as we always do. Just did it a little bit there, just talking about the quarterback position. And that's kind of where we started today, all the way back at midnight. Talking about both these teams and the idea of playing, who's playing quarterback this week, as the Jets announced, really, with the leaks. Again, as both these teams are just disasters. Leaks, losing, players defending themselves against fans and media on Twitter, and all the nonsense that's gone on with the Giants this week. The Jets forever. But we found out earlier in the week that Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starting quarterback. And we found out yesterday from the man himself, Aaron Glenn, who seemed relatively pleasant with the media. And I guess that's a win. That's where we are. The Jets, as long as the coach doesn't make you feel like he's a bumbling idiot or angry for no reason or embarrassing you, you take it as a win. They're going to Tyrod Taylor for the precise reason, not about winning the football game, although he absolutely gives them the best chance to win the football game, if that's your kind of thing, with, you know, two wins in week 12. But because you have an entire roster that you have to evaluate. Like, that's really it. We've been saying this for a while. They just added a bunch of wide receivers. They added a wide receiver from Philadelphia. They added a young wide receiver who had a rough go of it last week, but still, young, talented wide receivers that they're trying to find out who they are, and Justin Fields just doesn't give you that opportunity. He just doesn't. It's not a functioning offense. It's not an offense you could take anything from. There's no building with him. You know he's not the quarterback of the future, nor is Tyrod Taylor for that matter, but at least he gives you an offense and an ability to judge how the weapons inside the offense play. It's hard to even judge Breece Hall, and I think we all know what we know about Breece Hall in this run game necessarily, and whether or not he's going to want to come back is really the only issue. You would imagine there's money for him if they deem him worthy at the running back position. They've just gotten all the money off of Sauce and all the money off of Williams. You would think there's money for Breece Hall if they're so inclined, but does he want to stay? But even in trying to figure out the run game, figure out everything about this team, without a passing attack, it's impossibly to be a functioning offense. And we can go over every week. We talk about the yards in the first half and the passing yards for a game. And I mean, it's just, it's non It's not 2025 NFL offense with Justin Fields. You have to go to Tyrod Taylor, if for nothing else, to evaluate your team moving forward. I still think they're in the best position to lose these games. I think that's what is best for them. Because it's all about, after that trade deadline, it is all about being able to use those top five picks in the best way. And for me, that is not attempting to trade up to get your quarterback. That's just, that's using your first round pick on the quarterback and be able to do other things with the rest of those four first round picks. We got to the Giants and their quarterback situation. And this was kind of the hot topic of the show. And if you want to call me in the last hour, 888-808-1019, there seems to be from the fans right now, which is funny to me because I find the dynamic funny, because we talk about Cam Scataboo. And I'm getting called all kinds of names. Someone even called me a dork, which hurt. That's hurtful. Dork? I'm many things, but I am not a dork. But the fan base seems, you even mentioned the idea that Cam Scataboo put himself in a position where he shouldn't have been. On, you know, one leg in an injury where literally his ankle and foot were detached from the rest of his leg. Like, he had a major, major injury and major, major surgery just 3 weeks ago, and he's in a scrum of people pushing and getting pushed by WWE superstars. And, like, if you even broach the subject that he shouldn't have done that, I get morons saying, oh, I guess he shouldn't roll out of bed. I guess he shouldn't get in a taxi cab. I get, like that's all the same thing. God forbid you say something about that, but then Jackson Dart needs to be in bubble wrap and shouldn't play a game after the doctors clear him. Now, he hasn't been cleared yet, and if he's not cleared, obviously he won't play. But it's important for Jackson Dart to get out there and play his rookie season. And there are so many people, so many fans, so many different people in the media suggesting shut him down. Why would you play him against the Lions? Why would you play him against the Patriots? You know, get through the bye and then maybe, if not, shut him down for the year. Like, are we so sure? I am gung-ho and super positive about Jackson Dart. I feel really confident that Jackson Dart is going to be a very good player for the New York Giants. I feel confident they have found their future franchise quarterback. But it's been seven games. Like, it's important to go out there and learn things and make rookie mistakes and see good teams like the Lions. It's important for the process to go into a hostile building against a good team like Detroit and go try and win that football game and compete in that football game. And that's why I'm different. I'm a tanker, 100%. Hi, my name is Chris McMonagle, and I am a tanker. But not when you have the young quarterback. One, because I usually want that tanking pick to be a quarterback. And two, I don't value necessarily winning games with Jameis Winston. I don't value winning games with Jameis Winston, who won't be the quarterback, or with Mike Kafka as the head coach, who I'm open to, but most likely will not be the next head coach. I don't think you just build on these meaningless wins when you know you don't have the future quarterback. But with Jackson Dart, you benefit from these wins. You benefit from him working with this team, working with this offensive line, building a belief system in the kind of player he is and what he's capable of. These are valuable games. And as long as he's been cleared by the doctor, then he should play. Against the Lions, against the Patriots, against whoever else is next on the schedule. And the other thing is, like, yes, he needs to protect himself. And yes, they need to coach it into him that he needs to duck out of bounds, get down. You know, Tiki talks about making yourself small as a runner. All those things need to be coached into him without question. You can't do that in practice. I mean, you can try and coach it into him in practice and work on it in practice, but it's like, until he's better at protecting himself, you can't put him out there. Well, how the hell am I going to know if he's better at protecting himself until I put him out there? You can't manipulate that kind of circumstance and that kind of adrenaline and the same situation as game. Like, he's wearing a red jersey. He can't be touched. It's easy to slide when the yard means nothing. When that's the difference between a first down or a fourth down, when that's the difference between a touchdown and getting stuffed at the goal line, when that's the difference between continuing the drive at the end of the game or going home a loser, like, we're going to find out how he treats it then. These are all things he needs to learn on the field. These are meaningful games, meaningful sequences, meaningful, you know, drives, and working with this offense, working with this team, and building a winning culture. Because to me, you don't build it with Justin Fields knowing he's not the future. You don't build it with Tommy DeVito knowing he's not the future. You don't build it with Tyrod Taylor knowing he's not the future. I don't believe in that. I believe the quarterback position, we say it, we casually throw it out there. Oh, the quarterback position is the most important position in the NFL. It goes beyond just how important it is to winning that one game. It's the organization, man. It's everything. And so I believe you can build with Jackson Dart. These games are meaningful with Jackson Dart, and he needs to play. Now, I'm not saying rush him. I'm not saying anything other than the minute the doctors say he's good, then he plays. He plays. And these games are important. And I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing him out there on Sunday. If not, looking forward to seeing him against the Patriots. If not, looking forward to him after that. Whenever he is ready to go, he needs to play. Absolutely. And I still think they need to run him. Now, can they limit it on some level because he's now had the concussion? Sure. I mean, they could drop it down from four design runs to two design runs. Cut it in half. Like, I mean, I still don't think the numbers are all that crazy. I think he just doesn't protect himself. But I still think with no weapons, with Isaiah Hodgins being the best wide receiver on the team, if they get it to a third and four, and I think the best play is to run Jackson Dart, I'm still open to doing that. He's got to be able to, that's who he is. That's how he's going to function. Otherwise, he's not Jackson Dart, and otherwise, they don't have a franchise quarterback. Can they limit it? Sure. You know, mop-up time? Yeah, be much more careful. If they're down, you know, two touchdowns with 6 minutes left and you're driving, like, is it, like, can you say to yourself, all right, maybe not in this situation? I suppose, but I'm not taking it out of his game. You got to protect him. Of course, he's got to protect himself. But I also have to see him play football, and that's Jackson Dart playing football. 888-808-1019. We're talking about baseball. The very famous John in Mathpeth is on hold. The phone call heard round the world. We'll get to John in a second, but first we got to start, I suppose. I have no choice. Brett in Long Island, what's up, Brett?
Chris, you told that Fogarty story on Saturday, correct?
Correct.
I heard it was different, though. I heard that you said to the hot dog vendor, hey, look, John Fogarty. And when he looked, you grabbed the hot dogs and you ran.
Pathetic. Pathetic.
Chris, in my 11 online social media.
That was such a poorly done joke and so obvious. You should. There's many reasons why you should hang up the phone on most mornings and feel ashamed of yourself. Never more than today. Never more than today.
That's what I heard, Chris. I'm just saying what I heard. That you were tricking the guy and took the hot dog.
That's it.
All right,
That man loved John Fogarty. How dare you? How dare you question that man's passion for John Fogarty? He loved John Fogarty, and he wanted to go see him, and he was willing to put down his business. He was willing to put down his livelihood, willing to put down his hot dogs to go see John Fogarty. It had nothing to do with me.
And you were willing to grab a hot dog.
I was not.
It was a good relationship right there.
It might have worked out for me if I was such a... I might have gone home with a mustard packet or two, but I didn't take any hot dogs.
Chris, this is where you lose people. I had a guy you know, listening to your show, and he hears you talking about Mike Tomlin, and he's like, I can't listen. He's talking about Mike Tomlin. He goes, Mike Tomlin has a historic resume. The guy... For 20 years, he's got a Super Bowl. He's in the bus. You really think, Chris, in your heart, that he would come to this dumpster fire? I mean, might as well say, oh, let's get Andy Reid, McVay. And you've been talking about it like every single day.
Yes, because he's my choice. And yes,
Chris, you're wasting your breath.
You might think so. I'm telling you what I think. Yes, I think for Jackson Dart, Malik Nabers, I think he would absolutely. You might think that the Giants are this dumpster fire right now, and I wouldn't disagree with you. They are one of the premier franchises in this sport. They have a connection to the same. They have a connection to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the families are close. It is a well-run organ. It is a famous. The New York Giants are a historical NFL franchise. They've got a young, talented quarterback on a rookie deal. That is the most prestigious and enticing part of any appealing and valuable piece that any team could have. Jackson Dart is the most valuable piece that any team could have. A young, talented quarterback on a rookie contract. He could come here. He's got a stud left tackle. He's got a stud wide receiver. He's got a good running back. He's got an edge rusher in Burns who leads the league in sacks. He's got Abdul Carter, the third overall pick. He's got Dexter Lawrence clogging up the middle. They've had a bad year, and they've done what they've done. But those are all legitimate pieces to go along with an owner who cares deeply about winning. Deeply about winning. And just maybe the last 20 years in Pittsburgh have just run its course. And he doesn't have that valuable piece. He's got old man Rodgers, who hasn't played well for, you know, a couple weeks now, and is dealing with a broken left wrist, and he might lose this division to a Baltimore Ravens team that's going to surge right past him. And a fan base that's been clamoring for his exit because he hasn't won a damn playoff game in forever. Do I recognize that it's not as simple as hiring Mike McCarthy, or it's not as simple as hiring Matt Nagy, or it's not as simple as hiring John Gruden or Lane Kiffin? Yes, it becomes more complicated. I'm willing to give a first-round pick for him. Do I think it's possible that if the rest of the season, starting with this game against the Bears, falls apart for Pittsburgh, and they don't make the playoffs, and they are staring at another lousy season with no hope at a quarterback position because they've won just enough games to not be able to draft that future quarterback in this year's draft, do I think there's a chance that Mike Tomlin would welcome a new opportunity to come coach Jackson Dart for the New York Giants? And do I think there's a scenario where the Pittsburgh Steelers, who know the John Mara, who know the Mara family very well, would be willing to trade to accept a first-round pick to let go of a coach who's been there for 20-plus years where it feels like it's getting stale? Yes. To all those things, I say yes, Brett. I do. Is it likely? Is it the most likely of scenarios? No, it's not. But it's my hope. It's possible. And it's what I think they should pursue until they're told what you assume, that it's not going to happen. That's what I think. I think they should pursue Mike Tomlin until they're told it's not going to happen. And maybe that will be within 5 minutes, or maybe that will be down the line, or maybe it will never be entertained. I don't know. But that's what I would like. And I see a path where it is absolutely feasible. I know it's a dumpster fire. I get it. Right now it's a dumpster fire. Mike Kafka is dealing with a dumpster fire. Next year, the minute the season ends, and we're assuming, and we know Jackson Dart's coming back, Neighbors is coming back, Scataboo's coming back, they're going to have another top five pick. Another top five pick. Abdul Carter, Burns, Dexter Lawrence, Andrew Thomas. An offensive line that's playing better in a division with one real good team, as opposed to, you know, having to go against, you know, Burrow if he's ever healthy and Lamar Jackson over and over again in the same place where it's gotten stale and the fan base is clamoring for him to be gone. Yes, I think it's possible, Brett. So take everything I just said, run it back with your 11 social media groups. Get back to me. See what they think. The man himself, John in Maspeth. What's up, John? Have you calmed down?
Yeah, well, I'm calmer now. I am. Even though it still upsets me a lot that we're paying Trent Griffin $22 million this year.
It doesn't upset me as much as it upsets you, but I do agree that Cashman misread the market and made a mistake. We'll see how they pivot from here. I think the owner is going to have to spend money, and I don't think it's impossible that he does. It's unlikely, but we'll see. Let's let it all play out, but I don't disagree with you. I was mad.
I
tweeted it out immediately. Brian Cashman completely took a chance. I don't think there's any chance they wanted him to say yes. I think they assumed he would say no, completely misread the market, and now are locked into $22 million, which makes the rest of this a hell of a lot more complicated.
Yeah, we're talking about a guy for, you know, 6 years, over 600 games, and for 2,000 at bats, was nothing but a career 210 hitter with a sub-700 OPS, which, yeah, he plays great defense, but you don't pay $22 million
no.
to a guy who provides that. Granted, he did have a breakout year last year, but, you know, I think that's a one-hit wonder type year. He might be able to come close to something like that this year. Maybe, you know, maybe he'll hit 20 home runs this year, which would be solid. But I'm not banking on a year like he had last year. And, you know, we always hear about payroll, and luxury tax. And I just feel like spending $22 million, there could have been several other ways better to spend $22 million, especially just, you know, in my opinion, just pick up two guys that are free agents that can go in the bullpen. You know, there's tons of guys in the free agent market that can fit in the bullpen nicely.
I don't.
Guys like Taylor Rogers,
yeah.
Kyle Finnegan, Andrew Kittredge.
I don't disagree.
$22 million could have been used for two or three people in the bullpen, which was pretty shot last year.
I don't disagree. If this owner is determined on not spending more money than last year and capping it at like somewhere between, you know, 310 to 315 as his max.
What I would like to see though is, you know, maybe they could work out a trade for him where a team would have wanted to pay him the $20 million but not lose a draft pick.
Yep.
You know,
he can't be traded without his permission before June 15th. That's part of the qualifying offer. Now, that's without his permission. If you make moves the rest of this offseason that either add outfielders, say you add Bellinger, we were talking about trading for Brendan Donovan. If you sign Bellinger, and you tell him, look, we are investing.
You're the fourth outfielder?
Yeah.
And you're not playing full time,
right?
He's gonna want to get traded to a place where he's playing every day.
Yeah, I mean,
that makes sense.
That's a game of chicken.
This is his proving year.
That's a 100%.
So this to him is his proving year to prove that last year was not a fluke. And
thank you, John, for the call. I'm up against the break. I think he wants to do that at Yankee Stadium. I think Yankee Stadium plays a role. This team plays a role. I think his desire is to have that prove it year with this team in that building where he had that great year last year. Now, again, is there a way, like if you sign Bellinger and you just tell him, look, Spencer Jones is ready. I have nothing else to do with him. We love him. He's hitting home. He just led the minor leagues in home runs. There's nowhere else for him to go. There's no point in sending him back to AAA. I'm not trading him. You know, we have to cut payroll, and part of that is making sure Spencer Jones is a part of this team this year. I'm telling you right now, you're not getting 500 at bats. You're not getting the 600 at bats you got last year. I'm just telling you. Like, you're not getting it. I have Bellinger. I have Judge. I have Spencer Jones. You're platooning with Spencer Jones. Is there a way you can convince him, like, hey, I know the Kansas City Royals want you. They're comfortable at the $20 million, or the Pittsburgh Pirates right now, who seem to be looking to add payroll. Like, Pittsburgh will take you, and you will play every day in Pittsburgh. That building's pretty good. You can play every day in Pittsburgh and try and have your big year, or you can come and platoon at bats here with the Yankees. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's willing to do it. I don't know. I don't think that's their game, though. I think they have another distinct plan for him in center field. Maybe they move him, but I think they're going to come up with a plan. And to me, I agree with you. I think you put it very well. That $22 million could have been used. I wanted to sign Bellinger, put him in center, either play Dominguez or Spencer Jones, or, you know, play Spencer Jones in center if you're so inclined. But I would have traded for a left fielder like Brendan Donovan, we talked about, or like Steven Kwan. And then I would have used that money, the $22 million, to either sign a starting pitcher, like the Japanese pitcher who just hit the market, or relievers. Like, that $22 million could have been spent elsewhere. I could have brought back Bellinger, like they still think they're going to bring back anyway, played him in center, traded for a left fielder, or let Dominguez play left field, use that money differently. I totally agree. But that's if Steinbrenner is telling them, like, this is it. It's $3.10, not a dollar more. But with this plan, the Yankees can be really good. The Yankees can do everything we wanted and have a good player in Grisham. If this owner is willing to bump it up to 340, 345, 350, is he willing to? I don't know. My guess is no, because he hasn't shown that. But if he's willing to, I think the Yankees have a lot of interesting options. And it's not like a lot more. It's $20 million more than he did last year. 20. Is he willing to do it?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, 4:33. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Another half hour until the warm-up show at 5. 888-808-1019. We were talking about the Knicks as well. Obviously, a lot of baseball here in the last part of the show. Football to open it. Oh, that's right. We didn't talk Mets either too much, as you know. It just sounds like with the Mets offseason, right? I mean, it's still at this Diaz Alonso kind of fixed point impasse, and whether or not they're going to be willing to. I just had someone on Twitter, I was reading the tweet, saying it's so funny to listen to McMonagle count the Yankees money. Well, and never thought I'd live to see the day that the Yankees would have to count money. Well, I know that Steve Cohen is counting the $12 million he got from his gold toilet, but it kind of sounds like he's counting the money with Pete Alonso as of right now. Because I do believe the reports that, you know, Sal had, that I think there's a limit on Pete. And Diaz, for whatever reason, has been kind of openly vocal about the idea that it's 50-50. And again, I don't know what that means necessarily. It just means it's up in the air. I wouldn't put too much stock in the idea that it's 50-50. Like, again, what is he going to say? You know, 72-28. Like, it's just, it's 50-50. It's up in the air. But I do think that they have a limit on Pete. I think they would go all out to sign Diaz. I don't think there's any, that's the one player I don't think they can live without. I don't think you can live without Diaz. And I know there's a lot of talk about Devin Williams right now. I can't imagine a world. And, you know, I would be beside myself if I was a Met fan and that's a swap where they let Diaz go because the number got too high. And we talked about this a lot with Stearns. We're going to find out where his comfort level is and if he's willing to go past some of the perceptions we have of him. And the perception we have of him, right, is not paying starting pitching a lot of money when they're on the other side of 30. He's kind of tried to push back on that narrative this offseason and talked about, you know, being willing to do such things at the top of the market, and he hasn't deemed anyone so far yet worthy of being at the top of the market. And to be fair to him, while we crush him for not doing it, he's not wrong necessarily. A lot of the starting pitching that has signed over the years that he's been here the last 2 years hasn't really, I mean, the only one who fit that real, I mean, you could argue, you know, the Yankees deemed Max Fried to have met that standard, and he did have a great year for them, and yes, had one great postseason start and one god-awful postseason start against the Blue Jays in a building where he just couldn't pitch all year. But you look at the contract that the Diamondbacks gave Corbin Burns and how much they are furious. You know, that contract's going to kill the Diamondbacks. Now, that contract doesn't kill the Mets because this owner is, to quote BT, unkillable. But he threw his arm out. And I know they just got rid of Frankie Montas, and whether or not he's the worst signing in free agent history for the New York Mets or not, it was a miserable one. But these long-term deals for these starting pitchers, we're going to find out how he feels about that, because at some point he's going to have to do something he's uncomfortable with. We'll find out what that is, and he's talked about being willing to be at the top of that market via either trade or free agency, and we'll see if anybody piques his interest this offseason, and we're going to get to whether or not they are looking to trade Senga or not. But the other thought process is he doesn't want to pay Pete Alonso, an aging, kind of lumbering first baseman without the flexibility, you know, having to play DH a lot, his waning defense, feeling like you've probably seen the best of his career as opposed to what is ahead. How many years does he want to give him? He's asking for 6 or 7. Are they going to hold firm, which is the report that they will hold firm to their beliefs, on 3 or 4 years max for Pete Alonso? But the other thing is just the idea that smart executives don't put a lot of money into the back end of the bullpen. That bullpen arms are fickle. That bullpen arms get hurt as much as starting pitchers get hurt. And that even though the bullpens have become more and more important, certainly as baseball has evolved and we're seeing less innings from the starting pitching, that it's just not a smart investment to put a lot of money into the back end of your bullpen. I don't know how they get away from that. I don't know how they get away from not giving Diaz big money. To me, he's the one. Like, you look at this bullpen right now. If he goes, who do they have? Like, Brooks Raley and hopefully Minter back from injury? Like, what other arms do you feel good about? Diaz has got to come back. That is first and foremost. And the idea, like, him and Devin Williams intrigues me. Now, I don't know what the market for Devin Williams is going to be off of this miserable year. He did find himself, and prior to this year, and you can kind of brush it off as, you know, joining the New York Yankees and his inability to find familiarity and comfortability with that until late in the season. I'm curious how teams view that. We always talk about how the Yankees view that. I wonder how other teams view it off a bad year with the Yankees. But he was one of the best relievers in baseball for 3-4 years straight before he was in the pinstripes this year. I would love to add him to this bullpen with Diaz, but he can't. He's not your answer. You do not lose Diaz and bring in a player who last year folded under the pressure at almost every turn for the New York Yankees. Like, you just, I don't know if the Mets can do that. Like, we talked about, like, and I know they've, and we've joked about it and had our fun. They brought in a lot of Yankees over the last 2 years. Most of them are guys who've proven they can play in the market. That's what's enticing about them. Devin Williams is almost the opposite. Devin Williams folded as closer of the New York Yankees. You cannot make him closer of the Mets. Like, you can't. If you lose Diaz, he would be still a piece of a bullpen package. He would not. I would not sign Devin Williams as my lockdown. He's my closer. I would have to bring in multiple arms and at least have an option of having a good enough arm to close elsewhere. But to me, Diaz is the one guy they can't live without. And then you get to the idea that they're open for business on so many of these other players, whether it be McNeil, who clearly I think they would ask next to nothing in return to just get rid of that contract. And then Nimmo, who is out there, and with his contract over the next 5 years, he's a good player. He's a solid player. He's waned defensively. He's okay enough in left field. I'm hearing a lot about possibly playing him in center, as the Mets don't have a center fielder. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm wondering if they're absolutely shopping him or they're just listening on him. But I've been one to think that the core needs a little bit of tweaking. I would be open to moving Nimmo for the right package. But to me, the question is, first and foremost, we know they need to fix this rotation. They need to fix the rotation. That was their downfall this season. Yeah, the offense. I mean, the offense is tricky because I don't know how much more you're going to impact it. Do I think, looking at the Mets last year, that the offense was as big a problem as the pitching rotation? At the end of the season, the pitching fell apart. But throughout the entire course of the year, was the offense disappointing, especially with runners in scoring position? And the inability to the Pete Alonso home run off of the aforementioned Devin Williams is the last time they won a game when they were down in the eighth inning. Like, something like that is a, and the Stearns had a tough time answering the question why. You can't answer that question, and no matter what offense they roll out there this year, they'll be better at that than they were this year. That's one of those fluke things that, for whatever reason, the Mets couldn't come from behind late in games. Like, that is a fluky stat where they could build a worse offense. They could lose Pete and replace him with a far less player and have a down offensive year and still be better in those situations. So, like, yes, you want to improve the offense, and yes, last year, as much as the rotation fell apart, you could point to the offense being as much a culprit as anything else for the 83 wins and the inability to beat out the Cincinnati Reds for a playoff spot, but the rotation is what's in shambles. And rotation is where they're going to have to find answers and obviously be impactful. And to me, I think, I don't know if you can have Senga be part of it. I don't know if you can trust him anymore. I mean, the dude is hardly pitched, and outside of a 3-month stretch at the beginning of this season, he hasn't been a good pitcher in 2 years. And I understand the injury, and I understand the inability. Like, when they needed him most, he wasn't ready to go, and he was in AAA down the stretch of this season. He's still got enough of a track record where he could be enticing to other teams. And to me, the question is, are they determined on moving him? Or are they willing to listen? And Stern strikes me as the willing to listen guy. And outside of McNeil, who I think they would take anything for, I think you have to trade Senga. I think you have to move him. If there's any value out there for him whatsoever, obviously no one's giving him away. I get that. But I do think that you can have a hard and fast line in the sand. This is what we value him. This is what we're willing to take, and no less. I think you have to be open to seeing what his value is and be willing to take the best value you can find for him. I really do. I know you want to have as many pitchers in the rotation as you can. I still think there's value for him, and I think you can get a good return. And I'm looking to upgrade the pitching rotation in a major way, and I can't trust them. And they have money. They have pitching prospects. They've got 3 kids you can throw into this rotation at the start of the year. I don't know if they will. That's not ideal. You've also, as the general managers talked about, you have enough prospects now and enough pitching depth where you can go add to it via trade. Go get Ryan. We were talking about Minnesota earlier, and they're, you know, looking to trade Ryan. Go trade him. Go trade for Peralta. Go trade for Ryan and Minnesota. Go bring legitimate arms, top of the rotation arms to this staff. Go acquire more trade capital by seeing what you can get for Kodai Senga and attacking this rotation with either the young kids and signing some free agents or using the extra depth you get for him to go get legitimate top of the rotation guys who are Peralta and Ryan specifically who are on the market. I think that's what you're looking to do. And we'll see how they handle Pete. And I still think I'm curious to see what Pete's market is. I am very curious to see what Pete's market is. Because I think they're best served bringing him back. I truly do. But I wonder what he's going to take. And I do think, I've said this from the beginning, I think his market without the pick attached off of that season, we could see it explode. Now, the Mariners are out, and they just gave Naylor, who was the second best first baseman on the market, 5 years at about 18.5 per. Pete made 30 last year. I'm sure he's not going to want a pay cut. Now, if he gets a long-term deal, he'll take one. But if the Mets offer him, you know, 30 for 4 years, that might be the best option he gets. And I don't think they're moving off that. And we'll see what kind of outfielders they could bring. I mean, obviously, we talked about the battle between Bellinger and the Mets. I think they could use a third baseman as well. Bregman is a guy I would seriously look at if I were the New York Mets. I think he would fit this team perfectly. Playoff experience, winning player. I mean, does his power play to Citi Field? I would be less interested in his power. I've got power at other places. I think you can move Beatty to second base, then it makes Vientos available via trade. I think that you could see the Mets do a lot of different things, but we'll see. I think numero uno is McNeil. You're looking to get rid of for anything, and I don't want to say for anything, but I do think Senga is a move I would make and really try to make and not just wait for the perfect deal to fall in my lap on. Let's go to John in Robbinsville. What's up, John?
Hey, Chris. How are you, Chris?
Yeah, what's going on, man? Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. On Alonso, it's hard to take the emotion out of it, but the reality is I think the Mets would be making a big mistake if they let the guy go because I don't know where you're replacing that offense. And a guy like Bregman's not doing it because you're 100% right. His power won't play at Citi Field like it did in Houston or it did in Boston. And, you know, in 2025, the Mets scored less runs than they did in 2024. And you had an up and down year, but overall the numbers for Soto were great. So You added Juan Soto to the 2025 team.
And you scored
less.
They
had a worse offense. You're going to take Alonso out of that lineup.
Well, I mean,
how is that going to play?
But what is? I understand that, but what is that? You could play that the other way. I just added one of the best offensive players in the game, and it didn't help my offense. So maybe I can lose Pete Alonso and shift this thing differently and not impact my offense as much as you think. Because you would have assumed adding Juan Soto was going to balloon your offense, and instead, it didn't. Instead, you were worse. And the general manager, Stearns, could not have said run prevention anymore in his season-ending press conference. Like, you can build this team differently. You can get better defensively. You can change things offensively. You could be a little bit more contact, a little bit less power. There's different ways to go about building this. I think Pete Alonso, I don't disagree. I want Pete back. It is hard to replace those numbers. It's not as hard to replace as Diaz's numbers in the back end of the bullpen. And you can shift this team and do a bunch of different things and bring in multiple players to help this team and build it a different way. Right? Depending on what Schwarber's contract and just have a full-time DH and get a better defensive first baseman. But like you look at it and say, I added Soto and didn't get better. What happens if I lose Pete? I would tell you, Well, just adding Soto didn't make you better, so why are you guaranteed that losing Pete makes you worse? Sometimes when you assume, you know the rest.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Talk New York sports on WFAN, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
All right, 4:55. Let's get to the calls as quickly as possible. The other thing about Sanga is me and Fleeks are talking. Like, it also allows that, like, Sanga can only pitch every 6 days. Right, and that's if he's healthy. So if you keep him on the roster, even if he's healthy, you're looking at a six-man rotation, or you're looking at manipulating starters. Like, it helps the entire roster-building process of your pitching staff. It allows you to carry an extra reliever. Like, it's just, if he's pitching to the 1.2 ERA he was pitching to through June or through late May, okay. But that pitcher has just not been around enough to make me feel comfortable about it. And I'd rather just free myself up of that and be willing to go do other things and spend money in that rotation and make other trades. And, you know, maybe go back into that same market and get Imai, who people think, you know, steps right in as a number two, number three starter right away. I don't know what the money's going to be. He just was posted. He's got until January 2nd to sign to come up with a deal. We'll see what the market is for him. I think there's a bunch of different scenarios that get opened up by moving Sanga. I would absolutely trade him 100%, and I wouldn't treat it as I would treat the Nimmo situation, where Nimmo I have to be, you know, blown away with an offer I deem extremely fair or more, or in my favor. Sanga, I am looking to move, and I'll take the best I can get. I mean, it can't, within reason. It can't be god-awful, but it's got to be within reason. If it's within reason and it's the best on the market, I would be looking to move him. Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, how you doing, C-Mac?
Good, brother. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Happy about the Knicks game. Not a good game, but it's good to win games where you shoot. But when you shoot bad, you still pull
it
out.
They shot 50% from the free throw line. They missed their last six free throws. What the hell was that?
I know, but Shamit, two big threes at the end, huge. Mm-hmm. You know, and then sometimes when you find a way to win games that you should lose, that's good. You know, and I know all that stuff you're saying is correct. That's good.
No, listen, I mean, let's, I don't know about the refs gave it to him. But yeah, no. Oh, the Mavs, I'm sorry. I don't disagree. Winning is better than losing. I think on that, Mario, we are finding common ground. At least for the basketball team in November. I guess we could argue about our football teams in November. Many people would argue with me about wins and losses there. But, yeah, it's not a great game, though. Now, I know the Mavs have played tough, but they're without their three best players. And Brunson was back and had a decent enough game, scored 27, 28 points. Down the stretch, it's one of those games, too. Like, I wonder how Coach Brown felt about it, because I think he was throwing out weird rotations. He had Yabusele and Mitch Robinson and Cat on the floor at the same time at one point. Like, he was really mixing and matching at a level that is almost ridiculous and a bit different. And yeah, they shot terrible from behind the arc. They shot terrible from the free throw line. But they did hit the two big threes, as you said, that gave them the lead, and they were able to hold on. Winning is better than losing, but I didn't like that game at all. I didn't like the defensive effort. I didn't like how they played down the stretch. I thought the coach made a bad play on calling a foul right away off a missed free throw. They couldn't hit free throws. Not the best performance from the Knicks, but you're right. Whenever you play terribly and get a win, I suppose it's a positive. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Fleegs on the other side. We'll be back with you for a Football Friday starting at 2 a.m. right here on The Fan. The warm-up show is next, the morning show after that. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Again, be back with you tomorrow, everybody. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help. You save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.